The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 18th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the disciples, "If another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. If the member listens to you, you have regained that one. But if you are not listened to, take one or two others along with you, so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If the member refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen to even the church, let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Back in May, Reader's Digest republished an article by Madge Hera titled, "I've Come to Clean Your Shoes." Madge writes that she received a call one evening telling her that her brother, her sister-in-law, and all their children were killed instantly in a car accident. Stricken with shock and grief, Madge and her husband began to gather the things that were necessary to travel the next morning with their two children to the funeral. And she wandered around the house, aimlessly picking things up and putting them down. She couldn't focus. Her brain, she said, felt like it had been muffled with cotton. A few friends were contacted, and occasionally someone would say, "Please let me know if there's something that I can do." But she didn't know what to ask for. Later that evening, Madge's husband contacted the woman that she taught Sunday school with every week to let her know that Madge would not be there on Sunday. And about an hour later, there was a knock on the door. Madge rose slowly and crept across the room to find Emerson, the thin, quiet husband of the woman that she taught Sunday school with. And he said, "I've come to clean your shoes." He said that he wanted to help, and that when his own father died, it took him hours to get his own six children's shoes gathered and cleaned for the funeral. So he came to clean their shoes. So Madge gathered the family's shoes, and Emerson spread the newspapers, sat on the kitchen floor amid the bustle of the family packing. And he found a pan and he filled it with soapy water. He got a knife out of the kitchen drawer and a sponge from the kitchen sink. And he said nothing. But he sat on the floor and on his knees he served this family, chipping off the mud, covering up the scratches and the scuffs, and putting things into order. And at one point, Madge turned from her packing, and Emerson was gone. But lined up in a neat row against one wall stood the shoes, gleaming and spotless, ready to be packed. Is this the church? In his book, Faith Seeking Understanding, Daniel Miglior reflects that for many Christians, the church can be the least interesting and most irritating topic in all of Christianity, in all of Christian theology. Jesus, yes. Church, no. Or I'm spiritual, but not religious, has often become the rallying cry. If getting to God is my goal, I can do it myself. I don't need the church. Miglior claims that there are three obstacles that make it difficult to understand the church today. First, individualism saturates American culture. Independence often trumps interdependence. The importance of community, though, is not entirely absent. We put our kids on sports teams so that they learn how to play together and work together. If you've been in the corporate world, you've likely participated in some sort of a team building activity. But teams are typically volunteer. We join a team for a very specific reason, to meet a need. But when that need is either satisfied or changed, we move on. And the church is often seen this way, as a voluntary association of individuals, a group of individuals who gather on Sunday morning and then go on and do our thing the rest of the week. It's a group that we can join and leave anytime our needs change. Some even want the church to be on demand, available when we go through a rough spot, but otherwise not really necessary. The second point Miglior makes is that the church is often considered a bureaucratic organization. It's an institution. It has rules and a hierarchy of authority and lots of officials. 500 years ago, Luther, too, questioned the authority of the church. And we question it today, too. And we should raise questions. For when the church succumbs to bureaucratic powers and pressures, it loses the identity as the church. The third obstacle that Miglior raises to understanding what the church is today is the discrepancy between what the church says and what the church does. The church is not the pure and sinless community that we pray so fervently that it will be. The church is a fully human community. The church makes mistakes. We say things we shouldn't say. We don't do everything that we should do. We don't always live out the gospel that we preach. And some have been hurt by the church. It's interesting today that every single one of our texts acknowledge that there will be strife in a community of Christ. The prophet Ezekiel is called to task by God to call out the sins and the transgressions that exist in that community. Paul tells us in Romans to wake up from sleep. He calls us to put aside the works of darkness, reveling no more in drunkenness or licentiousness. And then Matthew outlines how our life is embedded in community and then tells us what to do when we have strife in community, not if we have strife in community. And most importantly, Matthew tells us when two or three are gathered in the name of Jesus, Jesus will be with us. There's not a promise that life in a Christian community will be easy. As our texts tell us, it's not easy to speak up and disagree with a brother or a sister. It's not easy to go to someone directly with a concern instead of speak behind their back. It's not easy to love others, especially when we have been offended, or on those days when we can barely care for ourselves. So do we really need the church? Do we really need to be in Christian community? Or perhaps that's not the right question. Perhaps the right question is, does God need the church? I like to think of the church as the intersection of the two beams of the cross. Our relationship with God and our relationship with each other. And in the cross, our relationship with God cannot be separated from our relationship with each other. Whether we are a saint, whether we are a sinner, or whether we are some of both, the Holy Spirit calls each of us into community, into the church, into the place where our relationship with God cannot be separated from our relationship with each other. And it's not to do our work. It's to do God's work. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, in his book Life Together, claims that at this intersection, that's where God's work really comes alive. First, visible fellowship is a blessing. Being physically with one another is a sign of the presence of our gracious and triune God. Where two or three are gathered, Jesus will be there. And that is so apparent in this place, when we will head across the street and help out the children at Clay Elementary on September 30th. When, like Paul, we write letters and send cards, when we visit, deliver meals, and make phone calls, when we hear God's word and share wine and bread together, when we listen to each other, and when we pray together. Second, Bonhoeffer says, as Christians, we need a brother and a sister to speak God's word to us. When we become uncertain or discouraged, or when our own heart is weak, it is in community that we will hear that word of salvation over and over and over again. And third, what God has done for us with the help of the Holy Spirit, we are called to do for others. The church is so much more than a gathering of individuals or the association of people who have a common purpose. For the very nature of God, and thus the church, is communal. God enters into a relationship with us at baptism, like God will do with Troy today. When we pour the waters upon Troy's head and mark him with the sign of the cross, the Holy Spirit will enter into his life, claim him as his own, unite him with this community of believers, and strengthen him for his life of faith. The church with God created is where this relationship with God and our relationship with each other is lived out. The church is where the love we so graciously received from Christ goes out to another. So today, I give thanks for this community at Faith Lutheran. This community, although imperfect and always in need of reform, this community which shares the gift of grace that has been so freely given to each of us. This community who today will welcome Troy into God's family through baptism and promise to support him. This community, who as the living body of Christ, reaches out and cares for so many. This community who comes to clean the shoes. As Jesus said, "For when two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them." Amen.